is Emily Wright of EG, and I'm joined today by Jay Cross, President of Related Hudson Yards. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
We are on the 24th floor here at 10 Hudson Yards. I've had some amazing views to look out over. Before we sort of talk a bit about the project, let's talk about you. And you said something very interesting, that you've always seen yourself eventually ending up working on big, complicated projects. You couldn't get much bigger or more complicated than this.
That's true. This is about as big and complicated as it gets, and I think maybe I've met my match in terms of complexity. So, I've always been attracted to city-wide buildings that really change a city, and I think that applies both to sports and to big complexes like Canary Wharf and Hudson Yards. Punky Hills and things like that.
And you mentioned sports there, and for the benefit of our listeners back in the UK who might not know, could you just go into a little bit of detail about what you mean by that? Because you started off as a developer and then you moved into the sports world.
So I started life as a developer, and then in the early 90s the development business was sort of slow grinding to a halt, and I was recruited by an NBA basketball team in Toronto to build a new arena for them. Toronto needed to build a new arena, and from there I then moved to Miami with another NBA team, the Miami Heat, to do an arena, which became the American Airlines Arena on the Miami waterfront. And then I was asked to come to New York and join an NFL team, with New York Jets, and they were always sharing their stadium with the New York Giants, and they wanted to have a home of their own. And so the game plan there was to build a Jets facility, a stadium that would be part of our Olympic bid against London for 2012.
Yes.
We subsequently lost that bid. And so the West Side Stadium, which was to be where Hudson Yards is today, kind of fell apart, and we ended up at the Jets doing a joint venture with the Giants on a brand new stadium in the Meadowlands called MetLife Stadium today. But I always had a desire to kind of gradually work my way back from sports and back into real estate and real estate development. My wife likes to joke that I'm probably the only living American that voluntarily left the presidency of an NFL team. That's because I want to get back to real estate.
We're looking at, looking at the site today, and it is vast, and I think that people who live and work in New York will be seeing it take shape and will understand maybe a little more about how big this site is. But for the benefit again of those listeners back in the UK,
sure,
it's absolutely colossal. It's the biggest site to be built like this in America.
Right. It's 28 acres of land. So I would say, by comparison to Canary Wharf, the first phase of Canary Wharf was about 14 acres. The World Trade Center is around 14 acres, so we're almost double in size, or equivalent to the final version of Canary Wharf, if you will. And we have entitlements for almost 20 million square feet of office space, office, residential, and retail. And right now we're in the first phase of about 11 million square feet, and then we've got about another 6 million in the second phase. Mm.
And could you talk to me a little bit about, the tipping point that was reached in terms of bringing the right people on board, whether that be architects, your commercial tenants, then moving on to your retail and leisure tenants, and what has then eventually created... I think you said something like previously there was sort of 7% name recognition of Hudson Yards, and that's now at 90%.
Right. So I think the biggest challenge when you're thinking about a project that's 14 or 15 buildings, depending on how you look at it, you can't just go building at a time, ka-chunk, 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 because you'll be in a continuous construction site. So we early on kind of divided the project into east and west. And the concept was that the eastern half would be predominantly office, because that would allow us to get going, build momentum, and build critical mass. And that's what we're building today. And then the second half would be primarily residential, because people want to move into a neighborhood in which they're going to live with all the infrastructure and the amenities there. So the hotel, the restaurants, the retail, the public space will all be done by the time we build out the majority of the residential. So it was designed very purposefully to be sequenced in terms of use. So early days, the challenge was to get office tenants to come to what was considered a backwater neighborhood in Manhattan. The irony of it all is that as much as it was considered a backwater, it actually enjoys fantastic transportation infrastructure. So Penn Station is just two blocks away, and that's 600,000 commuters per day coming through between Amtrak, New Jersey Transit, and Long Island Railroad. We have a ferry service that comes in at 39th Street, just a couple blocks away. We have the Lincoln Tunnel that connects to New Jersey. We have the West Side Highway that connects to Westchester in Connecticut. So the only thing that was missing really was a subway connection. And the Bloomberg administration, as part of that Olympic bid, understood the importance of that and extended the number 7 subway to our front door. And with that, we have the best connectivity to the region.
Mm. And we were talking earlier and looking at the site, and I said I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but asked whether it was maybe like a New York within a New York, because it's so varied and there's such a lot going on here. And you said that, you know, one of the mantras here is that it's new New York.
It's the new New York, that's right. Because for a couple of reasons, it's new, obviously, and we have not built a lot in New York in the last, you know, 25 years, certainly at this scale or nature. But also, I think what makes it new in terms of a new New York is this concept of mixed use, the live, work, play environment, the idea that virtually everything you want to do in New York, you can do right here on campus, and making sure that it's done in such a way that it always feels like you're in an energized environment. And so for us, the programming, the public space, the architecture, the quality of the materials, the quality of the restaurants and the retailers, critically important to making this a destination, so that people come to New York and they know, okay, here's my list. I want to go to the Metropolitan Museum. I want to go see the Thomas Heatherwick vessel. I got to go see Hudson Yards. I got to do the High Line. And basically, I think we're going to sort of fall into that category. And I think we're also going to be a very popular place to work. And we're seeing that already here at 10 Hudson Yards, the first building. Our demographic in this building was stunning. It was like, when we opened the building, you stand there at 9 in the morning, you'd say, there's something unique about this crowd. Like, they're just young and happy and vibrant, and they look cool. And so we said, we should gotta do some demo, we gotta do some studies. And we actually found that 70% of the workers in this building, there's 7,000 workers in what you know, would consider to be a very beautiful Class A office building, are under the age of 45, and 50% of them are millennials. And they're high household income, they're single, they're having fun, they want to get to know each other. We've changed the dynamic of how you want to go to work. And I think that's been really exciting to see. And we imagine that as we open 30 Hudson Yards and 55 Hudson Yards, eventually 50 Hudson Yards, all office towers, we're just going to keep building on this momentum.
And I think you said earlier when we were looking around that, you know, the people that have got their office spaces here have a physical advantage, an advantage now in terms of attracting the right people, and that's the difference between what the CFO is looking for and the CEO is looking
right.
for.
So it's really, we said to our tenants when we were trying to get the project off the ground, you all are, in New York at least, it's virtually full employment when it comes to talented workforce. And so as one CEO said to us, we all pay the same for the same job. So how do I create the advantage over my competitors? And we said, we're going to give you a physical advantage because we're going to create an environment that your competitor can't match. Mm-hmm. And that's proven to be true. So we had a law firm moving from downtown, and they found, once they announced that they were coming to Hudson Yards, their recruiting on campus jumped like 25% or something. There was that much recognition amongst young lawyers that I want to work there. If that company is moving to Hudson Yards, that's the kind of company I want to work for.
And then also just talk to me a little bit as well about the, you've got these amazing tenants, you've got these amazing different buildings, and it all kind of knits together, but that's a lot of people to knit together, and that's your job.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, it's a lot of moving targets, and so it's complicated in terms of all the buildings have unique ownership structures, unique investors, unique lenders, and making sure, and there's a lot of shared facilities. And so making sure that every single user group feels like they're paying their fair share for the shared environment, because they want to take advantage of the shared environment. The shared environment is the special sauce. Mm. That's what makes it so amazing. And so being careful and disciplined to not let those costs get out of control is always one of the challenges.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sparing the time and for showing me around.
Visit.
It's brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.